Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow,
bow, bow. Wall dick, but yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
No.
Do you think you'll weep at your daughter's funeral?
Big baby. Big baby.
Yeah.
Big baby.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And that is from Mike Gorman yesterday. His daughter is getting married in a couple weeks, and I meant to say, do you think you'll weep at your daughter's wedding? And Freudian slip, I guess I equate weddings to funerals. I said funeral.
That's one of those things where I don't think anybody in the room caught it.
Nope. No.
Now, in the other room, they caught it.
Oh.
Because when I asked him about it, because I all of a sudden started getting like a bunch of people who were tweeting us saying, did Fred just ask Mike Gorman if she's going to cry at his daughter's funeral? And I'm like, no, I'm thinking that. And then more and more came in. And I went to the other room like, did Fred say that? They're like, yep. That was something that was said.
I did say that. It was not intentional, but it was said.
It was.
Do you ever see that movie, The Karate Kid?
I think that Jaden Smith is a fine actor.
No, you'll have to go to an inferior Karate Kid, meaning the original one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard there was one that was not nearly as good.
Yeah, it focused on a can-do kid from New Jersey who moved into Reseda, California, met with some bullies, and ultimately prevailed under the tutelage of a tiny Asian man who taught him the ways of Okinawa karate.
Mr. Miyagi?
Yes. And so there is a series that everyone's been telling me to watch that's on Netflix called Cobra Kai.
It's got like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes, and I've had people whose opinions I trust say it is like way better than you think it's going to
be. Our own Mike Lockhart has seen all of them and loved it.
All right, I need Lockhart to get on a microphone because I watched the first two. It's interesting. It's from the perspective of the bad guy in it.
From Johnny. Because there was something that went around the internet a few years ago that was like a 5-minute long video, an essay, and someone said, you know, in the end, if you really take a look at it, Daniel-san is the a-hole in the whole story, and Johnny is the good guy, and they gave all these reasons by the end of it. Yeah, Johnny got a raw deal in all of this.
Okay, so Johnny, and now this flash forwards to modern time,
like okay,
right now, and Johnny is this down on his luck, like, kind of handyman guy. He lives in an apartment by himself, and Daniel LaRusso is like the king of cars in the valley.
Okay.
So I watched the first two episodes, and I'm interested in it. And then it makes you go red tube on the people. It makes you go red tube. Did you do that?
I did, yeah. I signed up for it just for Cobra Kai, and then I got rid of it right after.
Okay, so does red tube cost money?
It was like $9.99 a month.
Okay, and so, but basically with red tube, all you get is Cobra Kai.
I think so, yeah. I don't know if there are any other original programming.
I think it also means you get to watch YouTube without commercials, right?
Yes.
Wow. Well,
okay, so you don't have to sit through the 30-second video before a YouTube thing.
Right.
Yeah. Which is of no interest to me. Now, is the whole thing up on RedTube?
Yep, you can binge watch them as soon as you sign up for it.
And by the way, just real quick,
actually are free.
It's not RedTube. RedTube is a porn site. It's, yeah, it's YouTube Red. Yeah.
It's a big difference.
Which is, by the way, a horrible way to market it.
It was a weird show. There was a lot of sex going
on. I know, yeah, like RedTube. YouTube Red.
And YouTube Red, that was a bad idea on YouTube.
I agree. To name it that.
So YouTube Red, and so you just signed up and then you got out of it?
Yeah, but the weird thing is, ever since I did that, all of my all the writing on YouTube now, or even Google, has turned to like Finnish, and I can't figure out how to get it back.
Oh, really? That's why. Why didn't they put it up on something normal?
I know, it's so weird.
Yeah, except that was, and I didn't like it enough because I wanted to watch the third one. I watched the first two, and I thought they were great. I thought they were really good, and then I wanted to watch the third one. And it made you get it,
and then it was like a preview, right?
Right. And it seemed
I mean, it wasn't that good.
It's well, you just watch it for Johnny. I mean, Johnny's sure. such a mess throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
He's the best part.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I really did. But then the red, the YouTube red thing got me all confused. I don't know why they did that. Why don't they put that on Hulu or
something?
I'm surprised
nobody picked it up because it was good enough for somebody to pick up.
And it was,
and like HBO could have got it because there's a ton of like swearing and everything. So
yeah,
it would have fit perfectly.
And it's Sony produces it,
yeah.
which I saw at the end. So that's what screwed everything up. I mean, I pay for Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
I pay for Netflix. I pay for HBO Now. And I don't want to pay $9.99 to get everything in Finnish and have it. And so I don't have to watch it. 15-second commercial before some video.
Well, you can do that, and then, you know, and as he was saying, you can cancel. So it's basically just like paying $10 to watch Cobra Kai.
Yeah, it's like a dollar an episode, basically.
Yeah, no, so, I'm not. Yeah, but yeah. it's just another thing that you have to sign up for.
Yeah.
And this one seems complicated.
Well, that's how I felt about Hulu, you know, when we were talking about that. Like, I there's nothing on it that makes me want to buy it.
Well, there's archives of, like, every show.
Sure, but there's no specific. Well, actually, now that you said The Handmaid's Tale is pretty good.
It's
so.
Great. I just finished the first season. It's really good. Super dark.
Okay.
There's a show called Alone Together, which is kind of a throwaway, but it's a good comedy. But beyond that, it's like an archive of pretty much every show. If you want to go back and look at it, like an old Family Guy, they're all there. If you want to go back and look at, like, if you just, if you're looking at something and it references a show from back in the day, Hulu will have that for you.
Who else from the original Karate Kid is in it? Like, is Martin Covey, a.k.a. Sensei, in it?
I'm not. I don't want to spoil anything. Mongo show up for like an
episode.
A huge
what about the guy with the ponytail in the third one? Is he in that?
He's not in it. No, oh, we're okay. actually talking about him. And he remember how ridiculous that
the
guy
dude
was?
From yeah. the pony with a ponytail
in the third one. He is the sensei's best buddy from the army.
You know,
and he reestablishes Cobra Kai in the last.
You
one.
You know what's funny is that I remember the first Karate Kid.
Yeah.
I remember the one where Peter Cetera did the soundtrack.
That's
and they
the second
Karate
one.
Kid 2. And then I remember the next Karate Kid where
no,
Hilary
you
Swank
skipped.
The
over one.
There was a third
one. He comes back from Japan, breaks up with his Japanese girlfriend, who goes to the Japanese ballet, and then Martin Cove is down on his luck, and his buddy, who's insanely rich, moves back to town, reestablishes the Cobra Kai, and hires a ringer to beat LaRusso in the All-Valley Championship.
I bet that made $4 at the box office.
Yeah, I don't even think it was that good.
There's
a third one.
Now that you're mentioning it, I kind of briefly,
yeah.
like a flicker of what that dude looked like with the ponytail,
yep.
but I remember nothing else about it at all.
Well, the second one seemed to exist for the Peter Cetera song. I mean, that's all. That's because it was the video for the Peter Cetera song. That's the only reason I know.
Yeah, and the huge like dilemma in it was that he dropped one of Mr. Miyagi's bonsais off a cliff or something like that. Like that was like the big.
Oh, the third one. Yeah, he had to rappel into a ravine.
Oh, that was the third one.
Yeah,
so
that was the third
two and three
one.
On
yeah, that's right.
Okay, well, that was a stupid plot line.
That was an excuse.
I didn't say it was good, but it did exist.
No, the first Karate Kid's an all right movie.
Yeah,
that's actually a good movie.
Well, this is. It's funny because then you look back on it, and it doesn't make Johnny like that he was a good guy, but you look back on it, and LaRusso stole his girl.
Yep.
He was, the sensei from the, you know, original one was a sadist that had the, he taught these kids to do
sure.
these terrible things. He didn't want to sweep the leg. I'm not giving anything away.
Well, they're also told not to fight. Do you remember when he said, no touching each other until the big fight? And the whole time, Danny LaRusso is like completely taunting Johnny and doing a-hole moves to him. Johnny's like, I was told to be good, and you're being the a-hole in all of this. So, yeah, I mean, you look back, and Daniel LaRusso was in the wrong in all of it. He should have gotten
well,
his ass kicked.
But it goes both ways. It's not as cut and dry as that. And it's the show's not about who was right and who's wrong. It's like the aftermath of it, and that neither of them can kind of get over it despite their different lifestyles. Alex, go ahead.
Well, obviously, it was wrong to leave Jersey.
That's right. No kidding.
But listen, Rich, and Fred will attest to it, I also did the cheap thing and watched the first three episodes for free. Rich, it's just worth listening for the soundtrack. It's got Poison, it's got Rat, it's got Cinderella. When Johnny gets in his car and he's blasting every 80s hair metal band.
In every 80s movie. Because the point is that Johnny's
locked
like,
in. He's trapped in that time. He's not like Billy Mitchell was with, you know, King of Kong.
Yeah, he doesn't want to. That's like the last time he was happy.
Yeah.
Is in that era of the 80s.
See, I love this. This sounds great. It sounds like a show I'd want to watch. See, I thought it was going to kind of be like just phone it in, and because it was on YouTube. I think it's because I saw it was on YouTube. I'm like, oh, well, this is something they just threw together.
I mean, it's not, you know, Goodfellas, but...
Well, if it's Stranger Things.
And they take it seriously. It's not a joke.
I like it.
It's not tongue-in-cheek. I thought it was good. I thought it was good, but then I don't know about this RedTube.
It's not RedTube. It's YouTube Red.
RedTube, that's a porn site?
Yes.
I see Pornhub, X-Hamster... X-Videos.
X-Hamster?
Don't ask me why.
Okay.
It's, I don't know what
That's
it means.
That's another unfortunate name.
Well, I remembered it. YouTube Red.
Yes, YouTube Red.
And the big thing is that you don't have to watch the 15-second commercial.
And they're praying that you sign up, watch The Karate Kid or Cobra Kai, and then forget that you signed up, and every month they charge you.
That is probably the plan. But I don't have any problem with Hulu. Hulu. I don't have any Netflix. I like some of the stuff on it. But if I had to get rid of anything, it would be HBO Now. If I had to get rid of the next thing, it would be Netflix. And the last thing I get rid of is Hulu. Because if you think of a show, you can just go and they generally have it. You, Rich, might not like it as much because you don't care for the sitcoms and everything like that.
Yeah, I don't watch as many of those. And I like several of the shows on Netflix. I liked Mindhunter, and I really like Stranger Things. And there's a show now called The Toys We... Oh, what was it called? The Toys We Grew Up With. And it's a 30-minute documentary about all of the huge toys from, like, the 80s. And it's the behind-the-scenes of, like, the He-Man and Transformers and the Garbage Pail Kids and
stuff. They have the story of Mr. Bucket. They don't have that?
No, they have not come up with that one yet. And that's actually a really dumb, fun watch as well. Quick 30-minute. And there's some nerds behind the scenes. That stuff makes you feel pretty good about yourself.
All I wish that Netflix would do is make another documentary on sushi chefs. Like, as if that was the most difficult thing in the world to do.
Is there a lot of those?
Oh, Ichiro lives for something like there's every preview for every show features like a documentary of like slow motion a knife going into ahi and then you know he meticulously over every meal. There might be no joke 60 half an hour to 2 hour documentaries on the making of sushi and the chefs that make it.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, that whole food thing has passed me by. I like Man versus Food.
If it doesn't have a diner, a drive-in, or a dive, I am not involved.
I mean, that's the thing, is he kind of crushed it for everyone. He's the Nirvana of the culinary world. He kind of took the hot and highfalutin guys and said, get out of the way, I'm Guy Fieri.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What even last night? 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, no Mookie, no problem. There you go, Fred.
Way out of here. Jerry Remy, you called it. Another crush job. He got all of it for number 18.
Smack that
bad boy. To put the Sox back in front.
Dong, dong. That is right there on Nesson. And even with Mookie Betts out of the lineup during the series, the Red Sox pull up a sweep against Toronto, capped off with last night's 6-4 victory. J.D. Martinez cannot stop hitting salamis as he notched his 18th last night. Rodriguez went as deep as he's gone all season. He delivered 6 2/3 innings, allowing just 2 runs on 3 hits and a walk with 7 strikeouts. He had a perfect game going, actually, until the 5th inning. But this Sox team have won 9 of their last 11 games, 11 of their last 14, and are right now at a season-high 22 games over 500. So J.D. Martinez, obviously, is extremely happy.
It's been great, to be able to come in and, just sweep Toronto now. And, now we're going to go face a really tough opponent in Houston. Really good pitching staff there, really good team, so it should be fun. It's exciting to leave on this note.
Well, yesterday, Alex...
Shows you what a power bat can do. Shows you what they were missing last year.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, he is
the linchpin to everything. And you know what? If you have a guy who people fear hitting behind you, you know what? You're going to get new, better pitches if you're at the top of the order. Mm-hmm. And it is remarkable how easy that is, an equation to solve.
Well, Alex Cora was asked yesterday about David Price's comments about him being soft to the media a mere 4 days after he made them. But here was Cora's response.
Do you think he's soft?
At times he can be.
Why?
He said he was.
Well, if he says he was, he is.
And
he took a line drive yesterday up to chest or whatever. He kept pitching, so he shows up every 5 days, man. And then he competes. And then since day one, I saw the bullpens and what he does to prepare every day. And if that's soft, give me five soft guys every day.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe this will toughen it up, the ball to the chest, much like it did to Henry Rollins as he walked to high schools.
Right. Or Happy Gilmore.
That's right.
Just think of that scene of in the game. That's David Price just getting ready for a day's. Here's my day's work, baby.
Baseballs in the forehead?
Just stands in the cage. Just launch him at me.
He can't stay. He's got to opt out of being here. I mean, he's so miserable.
There's one bottom line for all athletes. I want every last penny I can lay my hands on. And that he's not going to make $30 million anywhere else.
No, he's not. But if I'm that miserable and I have that much money, I want to go somewhere and just be happy.
Because maybe.
There's only so much money you can spend.
It's the old Wall Street thing. How many yachts can you water ski behind? And the answer to that is as many as I can afford.
It's not like he's going to go take a job that pays him $20,000 a year. I mean, he's going to go make a lot of money somewhere where he's happy.
It's not as much as he's making here.
I'll tell you this, and you might be right. And I'm not even telling you that you're wrong, because I don't know David Price. But I do know that he's miserable. And if I was someone who was close to him, I would say, just leave.
Don't you think and that's the thing that's so frustrating, is it's got to be so easy to lessen the misery by a substantial amount just by getting off of social media.
It's not his personality.
Listening to I know it's not, but it frustrates you when you listen to him. I get so frustrated. He's like, just stop caring. Turn it off.
Because it's hard to do. I know. I mean, it's really hard to unplug from all that. He's obviously exceptionally sensitive. He's a left-handed pitcher, which means that he's got something going on. So it's he can't do it.
He's
so,
weird to start.
Right. Yes. I mean, left-handed pitchers,
historically speaking, are very strange.
Right.
Yes.
And so if you can't unplug and you've proven it, you just can't do it. And I'm sure it is frustrating. I mean, it's frustrating probably to him. But you can't, at a certain point, you just got to say, I have this much time to live. And beyond that, I have this much time to pitch. I got to go somewhere where I'm not this miserable. And I would tell him that. And if he goes, but the money, I go, but what about the money? How many more years does he have to pitch?
It's this one and I think three more.
Yeah, he's got a total of four.
In total, like how many years can he pitch?
Six or seven.
So why would I be miserable for the next 6 or 7 years?
Because you can make gazillions of dollars.
I understand that, but okay, so what is money supposed to do?
Well, I mean, make you secure, make your family secure.
He's secure. So that's off the table. Quick answer is money supposed to make you happy. Well, he's miserable. It's not like at the end of this contract, he's going to go, finally, I have some money.
Well.
And I can be happy.
And you know what? It's less than that. He's going to be 33 this summer. So five? 5 years left?
Yeah, and so
as a starter, maybe even four.
So I want to spend the next 4 or 5 years. Yep. I mean, the time's ticking. Get out while you can.
Well, the good news is that as the Sox start their series against Houston tonight, it looks like they're getting Mookie Betts back. But the bad news is that despite the Red Sox playing out of their minds and having the best record in baseball, there's some haters out there, or as Fred Durst would say, people drinking all that haterade. One such hater is our own Dan Shaughnessy, who yesterday tweeted, quote, "Show Pony Red Sox are 39-17. Impossible to tell how good they are because of the horrible level of competition. Let's see how they do with the Stros, Tribe, and the Yanks in October. Until then, all this means nothing."
Oh, happy Fro Day.
I miss Dan. Dan's been gone for so long. You know, we haven't seen the, everything sucks Dan in a long time. I mean, this is a guy who made a significant amount of money off Red Sox fans who bought that Curse of the Bambino book.
Wobble, wobble.
About how poor, how the Red Sox would always choke at the end, and then the Red Sox started winning championships, and that Dan kind of went into hiding. Well, I'm very happy to see this guy back. I've missed him.
Well, Dan will tell you, ultimately the only sport he truly cares about is baseball.
Right, sure. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah, I mean, now that the regular season is... You know, they're making the playoffs.
But it is.
There's no way. There's no, I mean, they might not win the division, but there's no way they don't make the playoffs. So
that was the classiest carrot top in the press box.
And by the way,
so fluffy.
Way to set up the drama of the next few months. I'm just like waiting till the playoffs.
Jiggle me like a jello mold.
It's peak Shaughnessy to crap on a team that has the is all the way to the second best start in franchise history.
Squish.
Honest to God, this is the best start they've had since the end of World War II.
And by the way, they've been pretty good against those teams that he named.
I know.
Like, at least against the Yankees. Houston. Not Houston yet. But
3-3 against the Yankees this season, and two of those three losses were because of the bullpen.
Again, the Tribe, is Cleveland any good?
No. They're a couple of games over 500. No,
then why is he throwing them in there?
They're going to be good.
Of course they are.
Not, but the team, they're right. Not good
they're
now.
They're 29 and 25.
Oh, I thought you meant the Red Sox. Yeah, whatever about that. But I mean,
Cleveland will end up being just fine.
Understood, but... I mean,
I just to come out and say that is peak Shaughnessy. That's the Shaughnessy we all grew up with.
Because fantastic. There's going to be no narrative for the rest of the season.
Don't tune back in until October.
Right.
Where are we? We're still in May, right?
Right.
Okay, good.
There's no narrative. There's nothing to, like, okay, you win the division or you're the wild card team. I mean, there's no way you're not making the playoffs.
But there's even a part in most, like, pessimistic writers that at some point just go, let's enjoy the ride while things are going well. And that way they build up a team so they can crush them at the end of the season. Yeah. None of that with Shaughnessy.
There's way too much time left to build feel good. There's nothing to feel good about in June.
And why wait in line when you can start being miserable now?
Because you might as well set it up now, because it's June, July, and August are going to be boring. I mean, if you enjoy baseball, you can sit and watch it, but it's not like, you know, you're hanging on every pitch.
Do you know the fro?
Yes, I do know the fro.
Unfortunately, I'm glad that you do.
Happy fro day.
Special kind of fro.
I mean, he had to lick his fingers and get a pencil out of it and start keeping score.
That's right.
So, and then, you know, Bob Ryan said, you have an extra score sheet, and he had to dig around.
Wobble, wobble.
And find one.
Yep.
Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right, there is some news that came out of the Boston Celtics yesterday. By the way, Danny Ainge on the show at 9 o'clock. I kind of consider this him doing us a solid.
Yes.
Because I don't think he really had to do anything after he did, he spoke to the media the day after. But he is coming on 9 o'clock. There are some questions that have arisen over the last few days, including what we'll talk about right after John Wallach's headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
So yesterday, the Boston Celtics sent out a press release regarding, believe it or not, Gordon Hayward, stating that Hayward had surgery to remove the plate and screws that were implanted after he broke his fibula on opening night. The team said the surgery was necessary because if the plate and screws were irritating Hayward's peroneal tendons, which are just inside that bony part of your ankle that sticks out. So the release continued to say that Hayward is expected to resume basketball activities in 6 to 8 weeks, and is expected to be at full strength at training camp. Okay. Now, none of that sounded too concerning to me until everyone online started yelling that we should all be concerned. To me, all I heard was blah, 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 full strength at training camp. But to some people, what they heard was Hayward had a second unexpected surgery panic in the streets of Boston. And I mean, everyone flipped out. And I'm like, what am I reading that no one else is? So the Boston Sports Journal, Brian Robb, who we've had on the show before, he actually reached out to a medical expert, Dr. Jessica Flynn. And she said, quote, it's very common for patients to have that stuff removed after ankle fracture surgery. The location in the ankle, like where it is, makes it extremely uncomfortable if you keep it in there. They say surgery to remove hardware must wait until the fracture is fully healed and is generally done in a minimum of 6 months after the initial surgery. So this would all make sense. Said athletes rest the ankle initially to allow the screw holes in the bone and incisions to heal, but the rehab process can gradually be resumed over a few weeks. She said this is a great sign that Hayward is healing well and this is not a cause of concern. Am I missing anything here? Am I, like, from what I hear from her and from what I read, is there anything, because people lost their minds yesterday. Unexpected surgery.
No.
Okay, good.
No, I'm not.
I'm glad you're my calming. You're calming me down this morning.
No. John has glasses.
That's right.
He is the smart one here.
I know all about Dr. Demento, so naturally I know I'm an expert on this.
You're right. You are doctors.
The one thing that's curious about this is I assume Gordon Hayward still needed this surgery last Sunday. And yet there he was, parked at the end of the Celtics bench for Game 7.
That's not
like Kyrie Irving.
That's not a bad point. I mean, the more I think about the Kyrie thing, the more perplexing it is. And
it's very weird.
We'll ask Danny about it. And the other thing is, too, is I don't know if this is true or because I'm just now reading, I think I saw it last night, that Kyrie Irving actually got, because my question was, and I hadn't thought about it until a listener actually brought it up yesterday, is that Danny Ainge had said that earlier that day of Game 7, Kyrie Irving had gotten the surgery for his deviated septum. And to that, the question was asked, who gets surgery on a Sunday? On top of that, who schedules surgery for on the Sunday of Memorial Day weekend? That seemed a bit strange. And then I read yesterday, someone said that it was after Game 3 that he had that done. So was Kyrie on the bench at Game 5?
I thought
Did anyone look back? I thought he was, too. So if the surgery happened after Game 3 and he was on the bench for Game 5, that makes it look even worse. So that's something we'll obviously have to follow up with Danny Ainge about, because when Danny talked about it, he kind of made a joke and then moved on, and nobody asked a few more questions. But that is strange. Like, if all else is equal, and let's say he did have the surgery after Game 3, and he was on the bench in Game 5 and not at Game 7, that does say a little something about his mental state, not wanting to be there when his team, his old team, beats his new team. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of strange. I don't think it makes me change my opinion of him as far as a player is concerned, but it was just very perplexing. By the way, Aaron Baines also got surgery to fix his broken nose, and he's going to be back to normal in 2 to 4 weeks. But I don't even know he's going to be a Celtics next year.
That's true.
So, I mean, he's a free agent. He can do what he wants.
I think he increased his dollar value a little bit, showed how valuable he was. And the most important thing is now Baines, unlike any previous year, can step out and shoot threes. And in today's day and age, if you're a center, you have to be able to do that. And now that, like Horford did 3 or 4 years ago, Baines has made that transition to a perimeter shooter, that increases his dollar value a little.
Yeah, and Fred, you got to wonder, too, if they look at Aaron Baines and he's asking a little more than what they want, whereas usually they might want to pony up that money, they might look at Daniel Tice and say, we've done a pretty good job with him, and he's kind of becoming something that we wanted Aaron Baines to be. I mean, Daniel Tice had a lot of success near the end of the year.
Yep.
And he was great on Joel Embiid when they would play each other during the regular season, so that was kind of a bummer that he wasn't in for that series.
Yeah,
so
they have enough talent where they don't have to overpay for Baines. I don't think
I agree with you there, but you also wonder whether or not Baines is going to be like, this team's going to, they're going to do something big next year.
I mean, it's up to Baines. I mean, if he wants to stay and he wants to take a little bit less money, I'm sure there's an option there.
Go back to what I just told you about David Price. Aaron Baines' value will never be higher than it is now. Considering the three-point shooting, statistically, if you go to advanced metrics, he was one of the top defensive players in the league as far as defensive rating is concerned. Maybe the best player as far as defensive rating is concerned.
How old is he? He's an older guy now, isn't
he?
He's
upper 20s, I think.
Oh, you see, I thought he was like 30-something.
In a body like all of Australia.
Yeah, that's right. So I don't know if Bain's going to take a discount. I mean, you strike while the iron is hot. The iron is never going to be hotter for him than it is now. You know, playing a key role on a team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals, plus the offensive game.
He's 31. That's what Dave told me. So,
and a man bun.
One
will never
contract
be
left. Yes.
For some reason, a man bun doesn't look goofy on him. It looks goofy on Kelly Olynyk.
Even if it did, it's a very scary individual.
I mean, for some reason, I don't even think of him when he has it up. I never go, oh, man bun. But like when Kelly Olynyk wears it, it's like all you look at, man bun. Because maybe you don't want to look at his face.
I'm telling you what's coming back.
Like Clydesdale.
What's coming back is the PT, is the ponytail. Someone's going to break the mode and just go back to the ponytail.
Like in the NBA? Are you saying like an athlete's?
Yeah, someone who has to keep it back, or maybe someone who's just going to a business meeting, and they want to slick it back.
We call it the Tattleman.
Why is that? Why is it called?
It's the Jordan's furniture look.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
It's the Tattleman.
when you're bald up top and you just say, let's get the silver hair down.
That's right.
Can you imagine what that, he's Hulk Hogan if he takes that thing out. He's completely Hulk Hogan.
What if I, I'll give him credit because remember that one time he came in studio and they were doing the thing. It was the year after the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. And he said, so we're going to do, instead of the Red Sox this year, it was that if the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, then everyone's going to get free furniture. And he was in the studio. I said, how about this? If the Bruins win the Stanley Cup, can I cut off your ponytail? And he said, absolutely. I rooted for that team more than any other team in any other year's history.
You know that ponytail's insured for like $5 million. John, you are on the radio.
What's up, John?
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, good.
I had a similar surgery to Hayward, and it was about 4 years ago, and I still have the metal in my leg, and if I could take 4 weeks off of work, I totally would, and it's completely normal.
All right, so you're saying that, did you have the follow-up stuff, though?
I never did it, but they recommended it, and it does irritate the tendons still after 4 years, so if I had the time to do it, I would definitely do it.
Yeah, I heard it's like, it's a pain in the ass. It's constantly irritating that spot right behind where the bone in your ankle is. And just think about, I mean, how often you bend your foot and how much that would drive you crazy after a while.
Right.
And you're right. I mean, to get that surgery, it means you have to have a period of time in your busy life where you can essentially take off several weeks. And most people just say, screw it, I'll live with the pain because I just don't have time to sit down. And, you know, people have work to do. They have, you know, kids or families and things like that. So Gordon Hayward gets the luxury of having that happen. And I, once again, I don't know why everybody freaked out so damn much about that. I thought I might be missing something, but thank goodness everyone seems to say that that is not the case. When we get back, by the way, we got to talk about the whole Colangelo thing, the GM of the Sixers. There are now new layers that are coming out about whether or not he's the actual
guy.
I
completely believe what's going on, and I think that my wife might have done this, would do the same thing.
Yeah, this is, but the way it was found out, there's a lot of like people with a lot of time on their hands.
Well, this was a big story, so I kind of get how they figured this out. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
But I can sort of relate because I think if my wife knew how to use these things, I could see her, if she got like obsessed with it, doing the same thing. I really could. If she got, because when she hears like people like bad mouthing me, not listeners, but when she'll hear like a show bad mouthing me, mm-hmm. it like drives her insane.
Yeah.
So
I don't think my wife's aware of any of it.
Oh, my wife is.
Like it's I'm not kidding you. It's weird. It's like she's not on like much social media, and I don't talk about it. So I don't know if it drives her crazy, to be honest.
No, it well, it's not every day, but I mean, on the rare occasion.
No, I understand. Yeah.
No, but your wife gets pissed when
she has in the past, but we've kind of segued into, oh yeah, they were just talking crap again.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, I don't sit there and go home and cry, but she'll hear.
No, what I'm saying is, my wife used to have that visceral reaction, like is there, you know, that kind of thing. Now it's after
about
all
Fred,
this time,
right?
Well, sometimes.
But believe me, everyone's wife has had that visceral reaction to me. There's no question about it.
She loves you, Fred. You know that.
No, Crash's wife hated me. Fat Kid's wife hated me.
Mary I'm loves
sure,
you.
I'm sure, well, I know Mary.
And Lee loves you, too. You know that
I'm
now.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure Lee loves me. We'll return.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else?
All right, so the Brian Colangelo saga continues. The GM of the Sixers was, I guess an article from The Ringer was tipped off, and they found out that Brian Colangelo more than likely was running 5 different Twitter accounts that criticized people within the organization, players. Joel Embiid tweeted out sensitive information, private information, medical information that could get him in trouble. And so since then, Brian Colangelo has been defending himself. Now, one of the Twitter accounts he admitted was indeed him, and it was one that never tweeted, and he said that he used that just to collect news and go on Twitter and find out what if people in the NBA were saying, and use it just as a news gathering source.
Okay, quickly, you don't have to give your phone number.
No, you don't, but you can. Like, it's, you know how, like, when you are on Facebook.
Yeah, but I don't know why you would.
See, I don't either. I don't either. I don't understand why you would.
Why would you give these people any more information?
Unless you're unclear on what the hell you're doing and just filling out forms.
You see, I'm with you as well, Fred, but I know that some people just say, okay, well, you know what? I think this Twitter account was set up via Google. Like, I think you can log into, like, Google and Google Plus, and it links to your account.
Okay.
And the reason I know that is because, so what happened was, since then, Brian Colangelo has basically called all of the people that were being tweeted about and saying, this is not me, I swear to you. He wrote an email to the people at ESPN and Adrian Wojnarowski saying, there's someone out to get me. I don't know why they're trying to make me look bad, but I promise it's not me. So there's a Twitter account called Did the Sixers Win? And it's just a one who just constantly writes about the Philadelphia 76ers. And they figured out a way to try to see what phone number is linked to this Twitter account. So they found what looks like a press release from a basketball team in Canada that Brian Colangelo's wife was involved in. And on that form, it has her name. It says, Barbara Batani, please kindly contact me. And it has her email address and her phone number. So they did a little research and tried to get like a password recovery using her email address for one of these accounts. And sure enough, it said, all right, we will send you a verification at this phone number that ends with a 91. And
right.
Her phone number ended with a 91, which matches up three of the five burner accounts.
Right, so, which means that Colangelo, they found out, the one he admitted to having ended in 6-1, which was the end of his phone number. So Colangelo's story checked out.
So his, well, he said that it was his, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so he said it was his, and that checked out. But then three of the other four remaining were linked to a phone number that had been previously posted belonged to his wife.
Yep.
Now, that could mean one of two things. It could mean that it's his wife, and his wife did all of it.
100%.
Or it could mean that Colangelo set it up under his wife's phone number.
I believe completely that his wife read the newspapers. I believe completely that she watched television. And I believe completely that she got very upset that people were talking about that way about her husband. And she thought, why? Because it's such a rookie thing. Like, why not? Well, I don't like this, and I can't do it as myself, so I'm going to, you know, air my grievances anonymously under these names.
And you think of the things she was criticizing, like his collars?
Yes, it's his wife.
She probably bought him the shirt.
Yes.
That those people are making fun of.
Yes, it's his wife. But I can completely relate to this.
But it doesn't make him look much better, because that means that the things that she was writing about, like the behind the scenes, the stuff that happened, meant he was actually saying, and she was taking and putting it on the internet.
Right, but you can't prove that. Okay, so the thing is that most likely, and that's unfair to Colangelo, because Colangelo could say things to his wife, and that doesn't mean, I mean, he could just be in the house venting. And, you know, it's things you say in your home to your wife.
But those players realize that, okay, it doesn't matter if she tweeted it. It means that he obviously said it in their house.
Or, fine, okay. But if they're that thin-skinned, then whatever. But I could completely, and oh boy, the conversation's in their house right now. But I could completely see.
Well, it happened with Goodell. Goodell's wife had that burner account.
Right. And all I know is my wife doesn't know how to use Twitter. I know that for a fact. But on the rare occasions, there's probably been like four where she found out people were like making fun of me. Like we've referenced, say I went off on the air on something.
Yeah.
And she'll be at home and she'll listen to what the people said about me and she'll become furious.
Oh, really?
Oh, furious. Oh, she hates it. Oh, does she hate it? So I can only imagine if, and this is, you know, jabronis talking about me, if I can only imagine if your husband is getting, you know, killed by the media and they're talking about things. Yeah, she set up burner accounts naively and thought that, you know, I'm going to protect my husband and I don't like it. And I completely believe that's what happened. 100% believe it. And Colangelo, the Colangelo has got to just be like, oh, Jesus. There's not a way in hell they told her to do it. I don't believe for a second he used her number or her telephone number to set up the account.
Because he's telling her everything. Like, I mean, because he...
Sure.
It was tweeted out what they were going to do. Matter of fact, he liked someone's tweet that suggested that the Celtics should make a trade with the 76ers, the number one for the number three, and he, like, liked it, whoever that was.
Sure.
I mean, or his wife.
Fine. I mean, you know, he told his wife. I mean, it's not the craziest thing in the world. And then she reads about how, you know, oh, I'll help and I'll put this in. Like, she doesn't, well, I'll put it in. And then if I tweet this, it'll happen.
You see, here's the thing now, is that he's got to make a statement about his wife. And that's the end. I mean, you know, I mean, is he going to throw under the bus and say it was her? Because even if he finds out it is her, is he going to admit that?
I think that you could get. I think that you could be honest in that situation, and I think you could say this.
Well,
no, you say, listen, a lot of things are talked about at home, and just like everyone else, if, you know, just because you say it at home doesn't mean you feel that way. I mean, in a moment, you could, or she could be reading things in the newspaper and have a visceral reaction to it. It doesn't necessarily mean that I talked about it with her. She had a visceral reaction to it, and, you know, she's very protective. She's naive about the way the internet, social media works. We've had a conversation. This is not going to happen again. And if people still blow up his spot about that, then they're guys that don't have anyone that really cares about him that much.
Well, how would you feel if you were a player? Let's say at your job, you found out that your boss's wife had been tweeting horrible things about you. Like, horrible things about you. How does that make you feel about your
personal
boss?
Things?
Yeah, I mean, this was personal stuff that they threw out there.
Okay, like, give me an example of something like that you would consider personal.
That they were faking, is that they were weak, is that they had no good work ethic. I'm trying to think of what they said about Okafor. I think some of the most damning things.
About Okafor, right. I would be like, I don't care.
Medical stuff. There's medical stuff that was out there, too.
And I'd be like, you know.
That could have cost you money. I mean.
Yeah, but Okafor is a dead man walking. Sure, I mean, but I don't care about Okafor.
Well, how about Embiid? I mean, they were saying stuff about Embiid, about he's a baby, he's acting childish.
I would say this. I would say that my wife is very passionate about my career and very passionate about the Philadelphia 76ers. And I've talked to her and I've told her that, you know, this is not the place for anyone outside the organization to talk about these things. The views that she stated are not necessarily mine. And she's very passionate about me. She doesn't like when people speak poorly of me or thinks that it's unfair.
Who can criticize him after that? Seriously.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't. It's his wife is very protective of him. And I don't know if, you know, and he comes home and says something, or maybe she's just like, Okafor is not fair. Like, you understand what I'm saying? I believe Colangelo, and I believe that's what happened.
Well, I also believe that if they want to get LeBron James, they're probably going to hire a different GM.
I think
LeBron James, it's going to be like, all right, who do you want? You know, pick who you want.
Well, that could happen anywhere. And I don't. And if LeBron James doesn't want Colangelo because of this, that's very short-sighted on his part. Speaking of LeBron James, LeBron James had some things to say. He talked to Windhorst. So you know that it was a hard hitter.
Also, ESPN did something to protect LeBron James from looking like more of a douche than he does already.
Yeah.